It's not possible. Listen, if there's one thing the history of evolution has taught us, it's that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously, but... there it is.
There it is.
You're implying that a group composed entirely of female animals will breed?
No, I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
I am not Morgan Freeman, and what you see is not real. Well, at least in contemporary terms, it is not. What if I were to tell you that I am not even a human being? Would you believe me? What is your perception of reality? Is it the ability to capture, process, and make sense of the information our senses receive? If you can see, hear, taste, or smell something, does that make it real? Or is it simply the ability to feel? I would like to welcome you to the era of synthetic reality.
Good morning, America. How are you? I'm Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Rod.
And
I am real.
Are you real? How do we know that? How do we know that you are, in fact, real and not, this is a new phrase that I've learned, synthetic reality?
Well, there is a movement that says we all live in a simulation, right, Dave?
That's been around for a while, though, hasn't it?
And we know birds aren't real.
This is true. We do know that. However, and was it Elon Musk that was tweeting that last week?
Was he?
I was surprised because it was back again in the social media thing.
He tends to do that. He tends to boomerang things back into the media.
I don't know if he's really crazy or if he's just a giant troll. I suspect he's a giant troll. But
I think he's a giant troll.
Which is what makes me love him even more. But at the same time, I'm still not going to sign up for these other... What's this called? Threads?
Yeah.
Is the new one?
Yeah. I'm not going to do it just because it requires an application install on my phone, and I don't use social media apps on my phone. Right. I use the browser-based viewing.
I had a friend of mine who runs a news aggregator site.
Okay.
He has opinions, but his site, his Twitter account is about news. Mm-hmm. And he had a Threads account for literally 15 minutes before he got locked out. So much for free speech in the real world where, I don't know, things
are getting strange. Speech, Dave. It's curated.
That's what it is, isn't it? So back to this synthetic reality thing. Mm-hmm. We have now incredible abilities. There was a film years ago. It's one of my favorite films. It's a Steve Martin film. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I did watch it.
It is a great film. And it is a tribute to something that I really love, which is the film noir. Humphrey Bogart, James Cagney, that stuff. And it's an interesting film because they do some things in the film, but they do them as jump cuts. So they take clips from other movies and put them in there. But they had to adjust them slightly. And there's scenes where Steve Martin is in the scene with Humphrey Bogart and other people.
Okay.
And so they have to, you know, in those days, they didn't have CGI. They had stunt doubles. Captain Kirk had a stunt double. Bruce Willis had a stunt double. Mm-hmm. I understand that Harrison Ford used to have a stunt double, but didn't like to use him. I imagine now he does. I haven't seen the new one yet.
Tom Cruise doesn't have a stunt double.
He does have a stunt double. Haven't you seen those pictures of him and his stunt double? I'll have to send you those. They're pretty amazing. because the guy looks a lot like him.
Really?
But he also looks a lot like Ben Stiller. Anyway, the point of all this being that we have now reached a point of synthetic reality, which this week a short little video came out. And I played it for you at the beginning of the show with I am not Morgan Freeman. But if you're looking at it, and I realize this is not a visual medium, but if you're looking at it, sure as hell looks like Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listening to it, there are some things in it that I hear.
Some cadence issues.
Some accent. He has a southern accent, which pretty sure Morgan Freeman can do, but doesn't natively have. It may not be true. Maybe he does. I don't know. But it's not something I'm used to hearing from him, which caused me listening to it to go, okay, that's not Morgan Freeman. But it's not far off.
No.
And this, of course, is causing concerns now, isn't it? Because let's just scenario Rosalie, as sure. Alexander Haig once said. What does it take to convince people in America today that what they're seeing is real, even if it's not? What does it take to convince them?
It's becoming harder because of all of this AI AA stuff with especially the AI-generated art and things like that. And we've got Governor DeSantis using already AI-generated images for his campaign against
Donald Trump
against
or Bush.
Donald Trump, basically.
Or is it against Joe Biden?
Well, not yet, but wouldn't surprise me.
Let's go back in time. One of the things that just absolutely infuriated me, it was like chewing on tinfoil back in 2016. The election, we had Hillary Clinton in this corner, and in that corner, we had Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Check. And the memes that were being posted by people that purported to be, quote unquote, things Hillary Clinton said. Just, and I can go back and show you the posts that I made at the time. Well, I could if I had my old Facebook account. I can't now, but some of them might be on my Dave Bowman page. But it was so infuriating because they were so obviously fake quotes.
Sure.
But people still believe them. Today, people will post constantly. Was it last week? The Garth Brooks story.
Mm-hmm.
Garth Brooks's bar is shutting down because he dared to insult straight people by serving Bud Light at his bar and calling people who are quote unquote boycotting. And again, I'm not convinced anybody is boycotting Bud Light. They're just not buying it.
I think they just destroyed their brand.
Right.
So nobody wants to be seen drinking it.
Right. But Garth Brooks did say that people who were doing that were quote unquote, his words, not mine, assholes, unquote. Mm-hmm. And this caused some blowback. Some people pulled out of his bar, investors. But there were headlines all over social media about how Garth Brooks played to an empty, less than half full
mm-hmm.
place and blah, blah, blah. And multiple people, and I'm not going to point any fingers or name any names, but many of you are, shall we say, loud conservatives, were posting these stories. And I kept trying to tell you, read the damn story, not the headline.
Yeah.
And yet you look at the comments that were being made and they were like, well, good, he deserves it. Wow, this, that, and the other. Wow, what a jerk, he did this and that. But if you read the story, you would quickly discover that it was what they call satire.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it says right on the website, we are making this up. Just to see how many of you are stupid enough to believe it and repost it.
Yeah.
The Dunning-Kruger news. people
don't read stuff. Come on, no. Dave. There's a whole hitman website, right, out there?
I know.
The people hire a hitman.
This is what I said last week.
Obviously satire, and still people try and contact them to
It's what I said last week about one of the things that drives me nuts is people who will make a 400-word comment about a show without having listened to the show. They just read the headline. Oh,
yeah.
You must be talking about this. And they make a 400-word comment about, you know, how stupid we are, or I am, or you are, or whatever. And I always want to put on there, tell me you didn't listen to the show without telling me that you didn't listen to the show. Because if you had listened to the show, there's no way you make that comment.
Yeah.
But this is the same thing. And how do we get in 2016, people were posting these Hillary Clinton memes. The one I really remember was the one about the Michelle Obama thing where she where she called Michelle Obama a quote unquote bitch. And that never happened. I mean, number one, Hillary Clinton's not that dumb of a politician.
Not within earshot.
Right. And number two, it was so obviously faked. But people kept posting it. And I kept saying, why are you doing this? Can't you talk about the actual, I don't know, issues in the campaign as opposed to the fact that you hate Hillary Clinton? We know that. I don't like her either. But let's talk about issues rather than fake quotes. Now you get this Dunning-Kruger news thing. You got The Onion, which used to be satire. The Babylon Bee, which used to be satire. Now it's become weird.
Prophetic.
And The Simpsons, which used to be humor. But I don't know. I mean, my question was, why did people believe it then? Why do people believe these stories about Garth Brooks now? And how many people, if you didn't tell them, that's not really Morgan Freeman. See, if Morgan Freeman had a sense of humor, you know what he'd do?
He'd do a video just like that.
He'd do the same script video
and
put it out there just to see.
So along those lines, Dave, about the technology, I have a good friend. We game together a lot, and he's into visual arts and audio and things like that. He had downloaded a text-to-voice AI editor, and that he was reading scripts to me in Morgan Freeman's voice, and it was spot on.
Wow.
There was some cadence issues still because AI is not going to get the actual from the text. It's just like, you know, you're not going to get tone from text very well.
Right. It's hard to do. I did that little 4-minute one a couple of weeks ago when I couldn't talk, and I just used the AI and I just fed it into it. And it took me probably 6 or 7 takes to get it to pronounce words correctly. Sometimes you have to misspell the word to get it. Mm-hmm. You have to spell it phonetically. But you got to
add you know, pauses by adding periods and things like that. So it's got the right.
The punctuation is completely wrong because you're trying to get it to sound more like a human being speaking. And even then, I don't think I nailed it. I thought it was a pretty well written piece, but at the same time, his delivery. His voice is better than mine, so.
But it's only going to get better.
And that's the scary part. Okay, if we can fool people in 2016, if we can fool people in 2023, what's going to happen in 2025? Scenarioing Rosalie, what does it take to convince Americans that, I don't know, pick something. Something relatively innocuous, but
aliens.
Aliens, okay, UFOs. What does it take to convince them that a certain politician said something?
Sure.
Okay. We talk a lot about
that Donald Trump was hugging Fauci.
Okay. Or that, or you know, I'm suing Donald Trump because he did something to me years ago. Here's the footage of him doing it. Well, where's this footage been for 40 years? Will anybody ask that? How hard would it be? How hard is it to grain up some modern footage to make it look like it's 40 years old?
The only hope we have is that there are counter technologies that can come in and you can use AI to determine when there are AI generated images and things
I'm
like that.
I'm with you there because that technology technically already exists.
Yeah.
The problem we run into is the Fox Mulder problem. I want to believe. So when I see something that fits my agenda, it doesn't matter how unbelievable it is. If it fits my agenda, I'm on it.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
It's like the Spanish Inquisition, Dave.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our three weapons are.
I mean, it's they hear what they want to, what they believe they want to hear. I would think the Salem witch trials in a way were like that too. They were, there was misinformation and it was passing without being written necessarily. It was all passing person to person. So that the issue has been there apart from AI. Misinformation has been there for quite some time.
Right. But now we're told that misinformation is almost criminal. At the same time, we have this synthetic reality becoming a reality. And your average person isn't going to be able to tell the difference. Let's take a bigger one. Okay, let's go beyond that. Let's get into the realm of crazy people.
Sure.
Let's say you're in France. And
which is full of crazy people.
You want to incite something. Okay. Yeah. How hard is it to fake a video of some important French person, Macron? He's the only one I know. Brigitte Bardot doing something nefarious to a Quran.
Yeah.
And putting it on social media. And what happens when that happens?
Yeah, it's going to be, though, there will be people that just react rather than
what happens
really paying attention and asking questions.
Right. What happens in the United States when a racial minority, a video appears on social media of a racial minority being attacked?
But not only that, Dave. I mean, it's worse than that because take the hands up, don't shoot thing. If someone had taken a video of that and just slightly altered it using AI.
Right. Things would go to hell in a handbasket really fast. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, Jesus did say the dumb you have with you always, so.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
So the question with this synthetic reality is that people are willing to believe, and it's that willingness to believe. I hate to use the phrase, but it's Hillary Clinton's, but it's that willing suspension of disbelief, that willingness to not take things at face value. That has gone away in our society. And when people say to me, Dave, what's wrong with our society? I'm almost at the point where I'm believing that what's wrong with our society today isn't our morals. It isn't our, you know, it's our inability or unwillingness to be questioning about things.
Okay. Well, taking this back to the Bible again, you know,
you got to do that, don't you?
My people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, that lack of knowledge is actually willful, especially in this day and age, because we have access to so much information.
Well, but then again, and then we're told constantly that the information we have access to is misinformation.
But that's someone passing judgment on the information rather than the person taking the opportunity to actually look and investigate.
But are they also closing their minds to the idea that this could be true? So if I don't like it, if I have this video of Macron doing something bad to Quran, and I want to believe that, am I going to say to myself, okay, what's the odds on a major politician, political figure, actually doing this? This is the Douglas Adams rule. This is the Douglas. Which is more likely? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, what? In order for this to be true, what else has to be true? And nobody's willing to take those steps. Nobody's willing to. And more now, people who are willing to take those steps are being criticized, complained about, told that they're the radicals, told that they're the problem. Shut up. Silenced, shadow banned, canceled.
Well, and let's not even add into the conversation the intel community knows full well what some of these kind of capabilities are.
Right,
right.
It has for some time.
Yes.
So what? Now we look at. I mean, it's not a good example, but if you go back to 2001, 2002, and the weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. Now, I have always maintained that the average American wouldn't know a weapon of mass destruction if it literally hit them in the head. But we were conditioned back then to believe that a weapon of mass destruction had to be an atomic weapon. And because we didn't find any atomic weapons, therefore there were no weapons of mass destruction, which wasn't true, still isn't true. But now you're in this position of, well, how hard would it be to fake that video showing that? Yeah. How hard would it be to fake a video showing that we don't have that?
Yeah.
And this cottage industry is going to grow up about this. And it's so weird. And the people who are resisting this are being labeled the problem as opposed to the people who are pushing it. Great example out of San Francisco to this. I didn't know this, but San Francisco, for some reason that makes no sense to me whatsoever, started allowing robo-taxis. These are driverless.
I think it's cool.
Do you? In San Francisco?
Well, not necessarily San Francisco. Who goes to San Francisco now and needs a taxi?
Nobody. But apparently there's some demand for these because they have them.
Well, I think it's a part of the growing, it's part of a learning process, right? To understand, we got to pick a city somewhere where only, you know, only the homeless are going to get hurt, right?
We have a street here in my town that I have to traverse on a fairly regular basis. In fact, it's the most direct route from where I live to where Cammie works. Mm-hmm. It's about 2.5 miles long, and they just literally spent somewhere between $7 and $12 million rebuilding this street with roundabouts. There are now 6 roundabouts on this street.
Okay.
But it is literally a 1-lane street going each way. But
they just do that to slow people down?
I guess, but it is literally 1 lane. I don't mean 1 marked lane. I mean it is 1 lane wide. And they had a situation the other day where an ambulance was going down this street because it is a fairly long street and there are a lot of neighborhoods along the street. And a guy had a flat tire in front of them and they had traffic behind him. So what do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go around him on the inside because it's a big pit, drainage pit. Yeah. And there's a fairly large car. Anyway, this impresses me as San Francisco. Putting these robo-taxis in San Francisco is kind of stupid because San Francisco, if you've never driven in San Francisco, and for the record, I have many times. I enjoy it because it's a challenge. If you have never driven San Francisco with a standard transmission.
And that was my first experience.
You have never driven there. You have never driven in your life.
You learn real fast how to engage that clutch on a hill.
Up and down.
My first car did not have that stupid hill assist, which I turned off on my other cars.
Yeah. I love driving in San Francisco with a standard transmission. That is the challenge, man. It makes you feel like a man. It really does. Anybody can do it in automatic. Doesn't take any. But they're putting robo-taxis on these streets that are that are skinny. They're narrow. There's even where they have 2 lanes, the inside lane tends to be a parking lane where people just stop and get out, and it's a mess. Well, these robo-taxis, of course, are breaking down. They, and according to the article that we read, quote, unalived a person, unquote.
Unalived. That's great.
Don't know what that means, but from the context, I kind of get it, but I'm a little confused. Well,
at least they didn't undead a person. I mean, that one.
Right, but how did they do that? Did they actually hit him? Or was he in the robo-taxi and they gassed him or something?
I mean, I have no idea. That was a really poorly written article.
Right, but they did. It's probably written by AI. Unalive. Probably. That's newspeak if I've ever heard it. But the point of all this being that there are those who don't like the robo-taxis. And now they have hit upon a way of stopping the robo-taxis.
They're probably progressive in their mindset, too, which is really funny when you think about it.
Do you know how they do it? I mean, I know you know how they do it.
Oh, I know, yeah.
This is funny.
Yeah.
They take a traffic cone and put it on the hood of the robo-taxi.
Yeah, so the sensors think there's something there impeding them and that the car doesn't move.
Now, both of my Subarus have that eyesight system thing, which also comes with this lane assist thing.
Yeah.
So one of the camera's job is to keep you in the lane. And if you start drifting out of the lane and it's on, it'll yank you back into the lane. And then it'll yell at you, get your hands on the wheel. Beep, 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 beep. I turn that off. The dealer always turns it back on, and I turn it off. And they say, well, why did you turn that off? Because I know how to drive.
Yeah.
Now, the one that stops you if something's in front of you, I leave on just in case, you know.
Sure.
But that annoys me, too, because every now and then, like you'd be driving down this road, Ridgetop Road, and mm-hmm. car will stop to go into the roundabout, and the thing will go, beep, 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 and slam on the brakes, and it's like, stupid car. Anyway, so the robo-taxis have these same sensors, I guess, and you put the hood on the car, and it won't go, which is hysterical. To me, I mean, I think it's funny.
It's a form of protest. It's hilarious. But, you know, these taxis, it's costing people money, and it's probably causing other problems, too, with traffic.
Which is part of the problem anyway, because the robo-taxis are breaking down, and we're getting confused or whatever, and stopping in the middle of the street, which in San Francisco is not a good thing.
So they'll program these cars to ignore the cone or something like that, or they'll have a second set of cameras that it uses instead.
They'll have a robot arm that reaches out and grabs it and throws
that would
it
be
off.
Funny. A little cone ejector on the
So head. These are people who do not believe in synthetic reality of the driverless taxi. They are protesting it, and they have hit upon a way to confuse the synthetic reality.
But aren't the taxi unions already opposed to these cars too? So it could very well be.
Well, they're opposed to Uber and Lyft as well. So
sure.
Which, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that, because I thought about taking Uber one time, and I logged on, I downloaded the app, and I looked at the prices and said to myself, there is no way in hell I'm paying $80 for a 15-minute ride, plus tip.
Yeah.
So I rejected the synthetic reality of Uber and said, and then they said to me, but Dave, it's peak time. So I don't care what time it is. That's, you know, I mean, that's not happening, dude. I'll walk before I would do that. So I don't know. I see these people as rejecting synthetic reality by putting these traffic cones on there. But I don't see people rejecting synthetic reality by saying, that's not Morgan Freeman. Even though he says he's not Morgan Freeman, it is. One of the funniest comedic routines I've ever seen. Eddie Izzard, you know who he is? Eddie Izzard is a British comic who is famous for being a cross-dresser. He's not transgender. He is, as he says it, an executive transvestite. He's just the bloke who likes doing makeup.
Okay.
And he did a routine one time that had nothing to do with any of that. He was talking about Engelbert Humperdinck, whom I'm assuming everybody knows who he is.
Sure.
He's a quasi-famous singer who may or may not be dead right now. I have no idea. And the reason I have no idea is because Eddie Izzard comes out and says, well, I was watching the news backstage and Engelbert Humperdinck died. And everybody's like, oh, because it's San Francisco, so they know who he is. And then he looks at me and goes, he goes like this. He goes, no. I just made that up. He's fine. He says, but really, I saw it. He's dead. No, I just made that up. And this goes on for like 5 minutes. And at the end of this, you have no idea if Engelbert Humperdinck is alive or dead. You just don't know.
Well, except for the people that pulled their phone out and did the searches.
Right. This was before all that.
Oh, okay.
So, at any rate, that's a form of synthetic reality where you're being told a fact and then told to doubt the fact. And you don't know. How do you decide at that point? Short of nowadays pulling out your phone, but even... let's say Engelbert Humperdinck did die. How many times do you see on Facebook these fake posts about, you know, Madonna's dead or...
So isn't this kind of related to kind of the conditioning that we've been going under the last probably decade, where news is coming faster in smaller bites and we're expected to process it quicker? Twitter has how many characters? Was it 180?
Well, if you talk to my $8 butthole, then blue butthole, then it's 200 and something.
But basically, that we're forced to process information more quickly and come to make a decision as fast as we can. And I think we're exceeding our ability to make rational decisions based off of that information. We need more information to slow down.
But we're not getting it, and we're not willing to.
No.
Which is the synthetic reality, is that we're being fed things that under normal circumstances, normal human history circumstances, 6,000 years of human history, we would reject. Mm-hmm. But now we're conditioned, like you said, by the shorter, more of it, that we have to accept it. And
so how much longer until we 1984 this situation?
We're already there.
Yeah.
We're already there. We're already doing newspeak, synthetic reality.
Yeah.
That's unalived. Yeah. Unalived. Yeah. I mean, we're there already. We already have people who are spending their entire existence either creating fake news or destroying fake news. I mean, look, I don't want to get into the politics of this, but in a real world where reality ruled, what would be the national reaction to finding cocaine in the White House executive wing?
That would be scandal. Big scandal.
And yet we're being told it didn't happen. It was no big deal. It didn't. And people, your reaction, this is what I say to it, your reaction to that story says more about you than it does the actual story, because it tells me what you're willing to believe and what you're not willing to believe. Oh, it couldn't have been Hunter. He wasn't there. Okay. But then the flip side is also true. There are so many people who are so dedicated to believing it that they'll believe Hillary Clinton called Michelle Obama a bitch.
Yeah.
And they'll post it on social media without doing any verification. Were you there? Well, no. So how do you know? You tell me, well, you know, but...
Well, let's go back to the cameras, Dave, that caught all the January 6th rioters and stuff. Surely those same cameras could catch someone.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that they can take high-quality pictures on Mars, but they missed this. Bank robber pictures, you've seen those.
Yeah.
Yeah, they caught all those January 6th rioters, but they didn't catch the bomber.
Yeah, amazing.
That's weird. I mean, it's just odd how the geofencing around caught all these phone numbers, except for that one.
Mm-hmm.
We lost that data. That data got lost. That seems synthetically real to me, like you just made that up. But how do I know? And how do I not know? And this is kind of weird to me. It's kind of getting scary to me. And it's going to have bigger and bigger influences as we go forward. What do you think? Send us an email, WTF@whatthefrock.org. I will not read it, but Rod will.
Sure.
Probably. If I remember to send it to him. We got a couple this week that I didn't send to you. So.
Yeah, you didn't send me anything this week.
That's part of the problem. And stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this is our weekly discussion about things that interest us. We call it What the Frock, because we are both ordained.
Yeah.
I am actually a rabbi. He's a friar. And yet somehow we never talk about religion.
A Jedi. I tried to get that in there earlier today.
I know. You brought up the Bible stuff, but how do we know that's not synthetic reality?
Well, I mean, someone could say that our certificates are, right?
Yes. My doctorate in divinity. So all of this stuff comes to a head now because Zelensky a few weeks ago and about a year ago said something that offended a lot of people, which was that you have to keep funding my war. He was talking to us as Americans. Yeah. You have to keep funding my war against Russia. Or if you don't, you're going to be fighting this war. And that pissed me off because, again, I said this since day one, I'll continue to say it. This war is not a good war, as Studs Terkel would have written. This is a BS war that was manipulated and forced upon us, and it's costing us hundreds of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And I am convinced that this war is not meant to be won. Speaking of 1984, I am convinced that this war is meant to be continuous. Now, I have friends, good friends, who have argued with me that this is good because it's draining the Russians. This is no different, one of them explained to me, than the Cold War, which we won by developing technologies and specific weapon systems that the Russians could not counterforce, and they spent themselves into oblivion trying to do it, resulted in the collapse of the Soviet Union. That's their argument. This is the same thing. We're just fighting a proxy war with Ukraine. But when does this end? What's the end goal?
Yeah.
Russia, there's not going to be a rebellion in Russia. No. Sorry, there just isn't. Wagner Group and everything else notwithstanding. Which means that at what point does Russia just declare that they've won? Which I'm still convinced they will do. But now, Rod, we have two things we got to factor in here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, we announced that we are going to send them another $500 million or so in military aid. So there's more of your tax money that is going to this. And included in this particular aid is something known as cluster munitions. We are going to give them cluster munitions. Now I hear you cry. What does that mean, Dave? It's cluster munition.
Cluster musician.
Yeah, that would be Britney Spears.
We're going to send them all our polka.
Did you see the story about Britney Spears this week?
Getting slapped.
You know what I thought when I read that headline? No, I'd slap her too. Anyway, yeah. The point being of this, and not in a good way. The point of this being that cluster munitions are a weapon that most civilized nations have agreed not to use. They've banned them because they are like gas weapons, like chemical weapons. They are highly indiscriminate and they cause, quote, inordinate amounts of civilian casualties.
Yeah.
And we keep saying, well, we don't want to escalate this war with Russia. But here, Ukraine, have some civilian killing cluster munitions.
I think this is partly my theory, is that there's a bureaucracy involved that's trying to clear out our old closet of weapons. So we've got this old stuff sitting on a shelf somewhere. We're not going to use it. So let's just get it out of there. Get it. We don't have to maintain it. We don't have to deal with it. Let's just get it over to them. They'll use it. Maybe they won't.
Okay.
Just clean it up.
Fine. But if you're going to do that, why not give them some old nuclear warheads?
Well.
Oh, you don't want to go to that. You want to escalate, but you don't want to escalate too much. Is that what you're saying to me here?
Well, I think, yeah. I think it's one of those, and the nukes would cross a line.
But the cluster munitions don't?
Well, they do, depending on where they're used.
Well, where are you going to use them? You going to drop them on your own cities? So that means you're going to drop them on Russian cities, which is going to do what?
Or Russian-occupied cities.
Russian-occupied cities that are full of your own civilians.
Yeah.
Okay, Saddam. Anyway, you're going to escalate this thing. You drop them on Russian cities, you're going to piss off Russian civilians. You're going to motivate Russian civilians to go, oh, well, maybe Putin's right. Maybe we do need to get rid of these Nazis in Ukraine. You drop them on your own people, ostensibly to get rid of Russians, your own people go, well, wait a minute, why are, you know, this isn't right. And your morale plummets.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, man, this is, to me, this seems like we're practicing Escaladio on the Russians.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we keep sending the money because somebody has bought into this idea that if we don't support if we don't use the Ukrainians to fight this proxy war, then we're going to have to go do it. This is almost like Afghanistan in 1980, right? The CIA supplying the Mujahideen with billions in weapons and stuff because it annoyed the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem this time is, though, that this isn't some podunk backwoods 7th century BC Stone Age hellhole.
Opium farm.
Right. Now we're dealing with Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Which I realize is probably going to be considered racist and all that stuff. And I get that. But reality is the situation politically, tactically, emotionally is different.
Yeah.
You didn't care about the Afghani people. Nobody in America did. We just thought it was cool that they were shooting down Russian helicopters. Ha ha. This is different. You probably have Ukrainian neighbors. Based on my walk through Hansville yesterday, I'd say that a lot of them live there because every other flag up there was a Ukrainian flag. That was weird.
Yeah.
And now we're going to give them cluster munitions. Another $500 million of your tax money.
Yeah, I still say it. They're just clearing their shells out of old weapons so they can store new stuff. It's a bureaucrats because from a political standpoint, again, we don't want to escalate unless there are people that do want to escalate.
And yet we are. And I think that there are people who do want to escalate this. I think that there are people who not only want to escalate this, but the more closely we become to being involved directly,
mm-hmm.
the more closely we get to the point where, I don't know, President Biden has to come out and say, you know what? We've got to commit American ground troops to this because, oh, and concurrent with that, we're going to have to reinstitute the draft.
Yeah, because
we're not meeting our recruiting goals. And all that then becomes distractions from other issues. Throughout history, it has been the norm of governments, leaders, to have conflicts to distract from internal distractions, internal problems, especially economic ones. And I'm looking at this as a historian going, the more they escalate this, the more likely that this war, which is not meant to be won, it's meant to be continuous
mm-hmm.
and to continually grow and to continually consume resources and lives. We're not that far away from, as I asked, God, was it 500 days ago? Are you ready to send your children to die for Ukraine against Russia? I'm not.
It does seem like we're headed there.
My son turns 13 years old tomorrow. That is so weird to me. That means he's 4 years from being the same age I was when I joined the Navy. 5 years from being quote-unquote draftable. And I can't even imagine my son who is...
Does he want to join the military?
No. In fact, he's made that very clear. I don't want anything to do with the military.
Well,
okay. Which breaks my heart, but...
Sure.
At the same time, you know, he's... He wants an electric bike for his birthday.
That's expensive.
Not only is it expensive, but there's a bigger problem with it, which has nothing to do with Russia or Ukraine or cluster munitions. I asked him, why do you want an electric bike? You know what he said? So I can go places.
he wants to experience life.
And I said to him,
you don't need an electric bike
for that. Not ready for you to go places. I'm not ready for you to be, you're 13, you're going to be 13. I'm not ready for you to be, which is, I imagine what my parents said when I was 17. In fact, sure. I know they did. We're not ready for you to be. And my response was, you know, in 6 months, I'm going to be 18. So you can either sign or I can do it in 6 months.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
I still have 5 years with him. Anyway. Escaladio is coming, and I'm wondering now how much synthetic reality will play a part in that.
Hmm.
How hard is it going to be to, this is right out of Tom Clancy, Maskrovka, for Russia to create an AI thing, a synthetic reality thing that makes it look like we did something or Ukraine did something? Or
false flag operations have existed for a while, right?
Right.
It's just going to be harder to detect.
And it's going to be harder to disprove. Who's your audience? What if we do that to them? Oh, here's why we have to go to war with Russia. Because they did this thing. Even though they say they didn't. It's scary, folks. It's a scary world, and believe me, I do not want my son out in it.
As we enter in our time, when we talk about our WTF stories of the week, I need to talk about life in general. You know, we're going to pivot now from all this other talk to something that's totally irrelevant. But as
we, not what WTF is?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. There's certain lifestyles that I have a hard time dealing with. And veganism is one of them. And yeah, because they have their principles and I get that. Yeah. A lot of it is to do with animal cruelty and things of that nature that they are just against eating meat because, that's how those meat packing plants do all everything. But instead, they turn to more, ecologically. Oh man, I have not finished my cup of coffee today. Yeah, ecologically, echo. Yeah.
Now so, pinch hitting for Manny Mota. Pedro Bourbon.
So we've turned these fads into now we're drinking things like. Almond milk and coconut milk and things like that.
What the hell is almond milk? Nobody can explain this to me. I get coconut milk because it comes from inside the coconut. I get it. Yeah. And it looks milky.
I want to know who finds the nipples on an almond. Who's the person that does that?
It's got to be a Californian.
Got to be. But so anyway, with all of their posturing and how they say that they are ethically against these things, and they drink these things like coconut milk. Dave, we have monkeys that are being enslaved by cruel coconut farmers who make them work on chains to meet the growing demand for trendy vegan milk. These primates are forced to harvest hundreds of coconuts each day in Thailand under the watchful eyes of their handlers. Monkeys are made to spend countless hours picking the fruit when they are not chained to the floor. Is coconut a fruit or is it a nut? Is it a fruit?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Jesus, I got the whole power of the internet right here in front of me.
But I can't talk and type at the same time.
All right, I'll look it up. You go ahead.
All right, cool. So the farmers reportedly pulled on the ropes that are tied around the animals to control them while they carry out their grueling shifts in the treetops. But despite a 3-year-long campaign by animal rights charity PETA in 2019, some farms in Thailand have continued to force the monkeys into this labor. The innocent animals are either bred in captivity or robbed from their mothers in the jungle when they are babies. Isn't that so sad? So anyway, we've got these people, you've got vegans who are insisting on this whole animal cruelty, and that's why they don't eat meat, yet they'll drink milk from a monkey slave farm.
Yeah. Well, and buy tennis shoes from China, too.
Yeah, true.
Botanically, the coconut is classified as a fruit. More specifically, it is a drupe. Droops are more commonly called stone fruits, which include peaches and nectarines, blackberries and raspberries. These are aggregates of drupelets.
Okay, so there you go, WTF fans. That's your informational nugget in our news part.
Coconuts are coconuts. Nuts.
They are not nuts. They're coca fruits.
Which really makes the whole, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Yep.
Peter Paul Almond Joy's got nuts. No, it doesn't. It's got fruit. No, wait. Almonds might be nuts.
Almonds might be nuts.
Might be.
Unless you milk them.
One of my favorite movies of all time. I still love this movie, even though I know now because of my trip to the Badlands Dinosaur Museum in Dickinson, North Dakota. That it is completely scientifically inaccurate. Dinosaurs most likely had feathers, and velociraptors were not 6 feet tall. They were very small.
Okay. They're like, still deadly.
Yeah, but they don't seem as intimidating when you can punt them.
Well, but yeah, if they work in packs and they hamstring you, then they don't have to worry about how tall you are.
One of the key plot points of both the book and the movie Jurassic Park, which, by the way, if you've never read the book by Michael Crichton, I highly recommend. It's not his best book, but it's probably in the top three.
Okay.
I personally think his best book is one that he didn't actually finish. Pirate Latitudes. If you like pirate stories, by the way, today is also the 20th anniversary of the Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow. What's the name of that movie?
Oh,
Pirates of the Caribbean. Sorry.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Today's the 20th anniversary of that. Anyway, which is completely irrelevant. But if you like pirate stories, Pirate Latitudes is great. So one of the plot points of Jurassic Park. Sorry, I get distracted, folks. It happens.
That's okay. This is the show for being distracted.
Right. The plot point was that the animals on the island were all female, and so they could not reproduce. Mm-hmm. But life finds a way. Check?
Yeah. Check.
Now, in a twist of fiction becoming reality, in 2018, a female crocodile in a Costa Rica zoo laid a clutch of eggs. This was peculiar because she had been, quote, living alone for 16 years.
Hmm.
And while crocodiles can lay sterile eggs that don't develop, some of this clutch looked normal. And one of them continued to mature in an incubator.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, a crocodile was hatched.
A female crocodile.
You know, it doesn't say. In this particular case, life did not find a way, as the crocodile was stillborn, but it was still there.
Hmm.
In a paper out this Wednesday, the Journal of Biology Letters, a team of researchers reported that the baby crocodile was a parthenogen, the product of a virgin birth.
Okay.
Containing only genetic material from its mother. And while virgin births have been identified in creatures as diverse as king cobras, sawfish, California condors, and Jews, this is the first time it's been found in crocodiles. And because of where crocodiles fall on the tree of life, it implies that pterosaurs and dinosaurs may have been capable of such reproductive feats. Meaning, Rod, Jurassic Park is real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing that makes me say,
WTF?
Well, I think culture is a reflection of our moment and our time, right? And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment. And we should always find times to express how we feel about the moment that is a reflection of joy, because it comes in the morning. We have to find ways to also express the way we feel about the moment in terms of just having language and a connection to how people are experiencing life. And I think about it in that way, too. It's very important that leaders, anyone who considers themselves a leader, really understands how anything they say would affect a real human being, as opposed to, you know, otherwise be a poet and write poetry. But if you want to understand, I don't mean to dismiss poetry at all, but if you want to understand any concept, you have to ask questions like, how would this affect a child? To have a real understanding of what it is that you propose. And culture helps us with that, because you sit down with Kiki Palmer and you're going to have a real conversation about...
Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
And, you know, we've been talking a little bit about liberals eating each other, eating themselves.
Yeah. I guess we have.
Well, you were talking about with the vegan milk
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I guess we could talk about it in the synthetic reality, too. See, that now I'm in this point where now I don't know what's real and what isn't.
Yeah.
Is it just what I can see?
Land ownership taste? Is real, David.
Is it?
It is.
Land ownership real?
And I'm sorry, I used your proper name.
Because
Rabbi Dave.
It's all right. I'm used to it. Usually means I'm in trouble.
Our relationship has progressed a step now. Right. So I can use your proper name.
Oddly enough, I don't know if land ownership is real or not. Ben and Jerry, the two guys that own the ice cream thing, yeah, they seem to think that land ownership is, what's the word for it? Not fungible. On July 4th, Ben and Jerry, who I can honestly say, I don't think I've ever eaten their ice cream.
I may have once, but
I'm pretty vanilla when it comes to ice cream flavors. Mm-hmm. I like vanilla. I like strawberry. I can eat chocolate if it's in Neapolitan. I do not like just plain chocolate ice cream. But what I really love ice cream wise is Baskin Robbins Jamocha.
So I like Breyers vanilla or the mint and chip.
Yeah. Occasionally I like pistachio almond. But now I'm confused because are the pistachios fruits or nuts? And I don't know. Ben and Jerry's makes ice cream and they're famous for their political causes.
And they're nuts.
And they're nuts. And on July 4th, they tweeted this. It's high time we recognize the U.S. exists on stolen indigenous lands and commit ourselves to returning it. This 4th of July, let's commit ourselves to returning indigenous lands to whom we from those whom we stole it from. Right? Which is great. And Bainbridge Island.
If we had bartered for the land, would that have been okay? If we had given them something like
beads? Well, that's what I say. If we bought it, I mean...
Yeah, then is it really stolen at that point? Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, we bought California from Mexico. They keep forgetting that part.
They
took the money. You cashed the check. So it's kind of like, well, I mean, at any rate, the Bainbridge Island, which is part of our county, but doesn't want to be. It wants to be West Seattle. But let's put it this way. They're in Kitsap County, but they have a Seattle area code.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one road onto the island. And for the last 50 years, they have fought having a second road built, bridge built onto the island.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's a perfect place to do it. They refuse. So you can get to Bainbridge Island by that one road, which is a two-lane road, or by ferry from Seattle. That's it, unless you have your own private boat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure there's a helicopter landing pad on Bainbridge Island, to be honest with you. There might be. I'm sure there's places you could land one, but I don't know. Bainbridge Island opens every city council meeting with that same. We acknowledge that we are meeting on stolen indigenous land. And yet it never occurs to them to... I keep wanting to go, but I'm not a resident, and say, I move that we give the land back and that we all leave. But they won't. They don't want to do that. So Ben and Jerry's tweets this thing about giving up, you know, indigenous land. But now it has come down that the chief of the Nulhegan Band of the Cusack Abenaki Nation, one of the four descended from the Abenaki that are recognized in Vermont, told Newsweek that it is always interested in reclaiming stewardship of our lands, which, by the way, happens to be where the headquarters of Ben and Jerry sits, is on stolen indigenous land. So somebody asked them, are you going to give up your land? Let's see. We're committed to it added that the land back movement is about ensuring indigenous people can again, governor land communities, but focused much of their taking land from the Lakota in South Dakota, which I'm pretty sure is a long way from Vermont, and more importantly, sure, full of people that don't agree with Ben and Jerry's
politics. Or buy their ice cream.
Right. So anyway, be careful what you tweet, because in an area of synthetic reality, somebody might say, hey, that's a great idea. Why don't you lead the way? But neither Bainbridge Island nor Ben and Jerry's will do so. That's kind of the way it is. Well, what do you think of all this synthetic reality and other stuff? Send us an email, WTF@whatthefrock.org, or make a comment on the website, please make sure you actually listen to the show before you do that. Which is
try and convince us that you're not AI too when you're sending us emails.
Or if you really want to, you could go to the AI thing and have it. Have it generate a response, just to see if it would be sensical or not. I keep thinking we should do an AI script sometime, but
we've tried that.
We've tried it, but we didn't do the whole show that way. So anyway, on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been
What the Frock?